Okay, I will bring you from the deep interior straight to the surface back and try to show that we have, I'm not explored exactly what we got from the previous observations. So this work is done in collaboration with Sergei Jarkov from Sheffield, Elena Gavrusova from Art Chertry. So this is what classic thing you have, this nice butterfly diagrams and the sunspot area variation of the solar cycle. And this is what you based your mean dynamo theory on. The life became slightly complicated when you got other polarity law. And this is the background magnetic field. This is not sunspot field, by the way. And this is the background field, which in, has half cycle or 11-year phase relation to the sunspot. So if it is positive background field in the northern hemisphere, southern in the southern background, then in sunspot, leading polarity has to be opposite to this one. So for the three cycles, you see that polarity changes every 11 years, and no one knows why and how it happens. So definitely what we looked at, look at the basic, what you've done, and I'll listen with a great interest what you were discussing here, because we are not theoreticians. I never done solar dynamo until, even I don't do dynamo, but do observations. But we look what is possible, what can be taken aboard. And so we took the solution that the road of the solution of dynamo can explain two ways, poloidal and toroidal. The toroidal vector potential is a quarter period out of the phase, or half of the 11-year cycle with the toroidal field. So radial gradient of angular velocity together with helical convection produces meridional flow. You heard this. And latitudinal gradient of the angular velocity, d omega for d theta, causes the radial vertical gradient. So I'm repeating this, which you know very well, but for me it was a discovery, and we tried to base it on this knowledge, what we got. And I found that we can't match everything I put here with what we've seen. So basically, what I was trying to look at is if dynamo wave propagates along the isorotation surfaces, direction sine alpha multiple d omega per dr by the unit vector phi of the poloidal field, which is proportional to meridional unit vector e theta, e phi. So this defined that in northern hemisphere, you have this migration wave drifts to the equator if alpha d omega by dr less than negative, and the same is in southern hemisphere if it is positive. So it fits very well in the model, and you can do parity, multipolarity for dipole, quadrupole, octopole. And this is the relationship which depends on the sign of these two coefficients. But if we look, based on that, you assume that within the solar sphere, there's sort of a royal zone where sunspots are allowed to appear. And the others, magnetic radial velocity of toroidal section suppresses appearance of sunspots, and you observe them around plus minus 40 degrees. So we look at that, and in order to compare, we have questions. Are the sunspot numbers, areas, or magnetic fields the primary indication of the solar cycle? What effects are caused by this background solar magnetic field? Because we have magnetic field inside the sunspot, very strong one, and background, which is very weak one, and how these two are interrelated. So we look at two different sets. We look at the MDI high-resolution data for detecting sunspot magnetic field, and we look at the low-resolution magnetic field measured by Wilcock Solar Observatory in Stanford, and using these synoptic maps. So for MDI, we processed the whole set of observation with this cadence for observations per day, MDI from 1996 to 2005 for sunspot, greater sunspot catalog, active region catalog, which you can, and plus filament catalog, which you can find on our website. But the main thing is when you process the sunspot areas in northern and southern hemisphere, You look, these are areas which are covered by sunspots in both northern and southern hemisphere detected from MDI data. You will see that definitely they somehow are symmetric, because here in the northern hemisphere you have quite a larger sunspot than in southern hemisphere. But in order to quantify it, we put extracted magnetic field. Luckily with MDI, we have not only sunspot, we can see also magnetic field. So we overlaid sunspot on top of MDI magnetic field and extracted magnetic field. And then what we add, polarity, leading and trailing polarity. So we took excess flux. We added all the magnetic field in northern and southern hemisphere and plotted here excess magnetic field. What we found, very nice separation of this is the magnetic field in the northern hemisphere, which has positive polarity. And this is cycle 96 to 2004. And this is southern hemisphere, which is negative polarity. There are few occasions when the parity is violated. And this is exactly times along the solar maximum when there were big transequatorial loops across the sun when the polarity start changing. So this is really gives you some indication that something happened with magnetic field in sunspots. Similar happens with the magnetic field in active regions. So with the straight line, the south hemisphere active region areas, and the dashed line, northern hemisphere, you see the asymmetry very obvious. And to put you even better asymmetry, I'll show you this the asymmetry when it's added, subtracted northern area. So we covered all the area for given day for northern southern hemisphere, and then added from northern hemisphere, added subtracted southern, and normalized for the total area for the whole flux. And we see this is the sunspot asymmetry in northern southern hemisphere. So this is 1996 to 2002. What we see that basically we don't have symmetry as such at all. Only rare occasions when the curve crosses the zero. So literally, asymmetry is a property of the formation of sunspots. And even more property of formation, the asymmetry is here up to 0.4, while for active regions, the asymmetry grows as 0.6. So you cannot ignore this asymmetry. The areas of northern and southern hemisphere oscillate about with a period 2.5 years, between 2 and 3, we can take exactly. So this is oscillation 2.5 years. And in active region, you might see also the big migration, the big period of 11 years. But we can say this for sure. So what we look at the formation of flares, H-alpha flares, occurring again. In all flares occur, this is flare distribution in latitude, H-alpha flares, the whole catalog for 23rd cycle, and average about with the one-year filter. So the flare occurrence, the upper curve, repeats very nicely the asymmetry of active region observed in the same cycle. So definitely the latitudinal, as you see, if you got this oscillation turbulence around away, then you see that the flare occur actually with a very good consistency around the belt between minus 20 and 20, even maybe between minus 15 and 15 degrees of latitudes. These were all the action happening on the surface. So, as I said, we don't say yet what's happening in the interior. To look at the asymmetry more, we can calculate cumulative area in the solar cycle 23. And on the left-hand side, this cumulative area with solid line is the northern hemisphere and dashed line is the southern hemisphere. So you see that first southern was dominating, then north took over, and most of the cycle took over. Similar happens with the active region. The asymmetry is much higher cumulative areas. And by the way, for the previous two cycles, Temer et al., they presented that it was opposite. In the cycle 22, southern hemisphere was dominating, not northern. But for the cycle 21, northern world, again dominating, and domination much stronger than this one. So definitely the asymmetry comes very strongly in cumulative areas. So if we calculate the similar way asymmetry cumulative areas from the sunspots, so areas, cumulative area of the north minus south divided by sum, you see that the symmetry in sunspot starts from 1 and then oscillates, getting achieving to 0. Actually, the more sunspot, this is cumulative, you keep adding them. So you would expect them come much quicker, like 1, and then come much quicker to 0. But they still oscillate around this. And this oscillation of north-south asymmetry in active region, you see real oscillation with this same period, 2.5, 3 years, maybe less than 3. So also sunspot active longitude, what we found that if you put a longitudinal distribution of sunspot areas, but speaking still about sunspot areas, not sunspot numbers, you see also the oscillation around the longitude, which come with systematically. And in general, we couldn't extract from here any active longitude because all the oscillations are around the same. But again, we used as a probe the same flares, occurrences. So this would, if you get all the flares which occurred, they occur the numbers here between all the longitudes. So if you don't filter them. But then if you start filtering with 90 days, you see that you narrow your wide range of oscillation. It's similar, like Anwar said, trying to make a complicated task very simple. So when we eventually get with the averaging filter 3 years, you get very nicely to the actual active longitude. The flare occurred, it's around 180, 200 degrees in the longitude. And very interestingly that the model predicting for this cycle, this exactly active longitude by Budiazi and Rosmarkin. So definitely there are longitude, active longitude and active latitudes. And I skip this one. So now let us look what we were missing while interpreting the butterfly diagrams and sunspots. What is the relationship between two magnetic fields? So this is the butterfly diagram for sunspot areas versus latitude. This is latitude, and this is the areas. So you see, in general, that we put the third dimension color, how many sunspots are belonging to these particular areas. So when you put the third dimension, suddenly this diagram doesn't look so smooth. It becomes like a strip-like. You see? Nice strip-like diagram. If you put magnetic field, it becomes even better strippy. So we put this excess magnetic field. Remember the one which separates nearly? So if you put excess magnetic field, so this is a positive polarity and blue is negative polarity. So your diagram suddenly, butterfly, becomes very strippy. So we want to, if you remember this asymmetry, so possibly this is what comes from why we have this strippy diagram, but we want to now separate this strip. We want to see where it comes from. So why don't we again run this, if we average this with one current turn rotation with 1 year filter, then if you average these sunspot areas and take residual 1 year minus 4 year mean, so to see to actually rule out the oscillations or any occasional fluctuation within 1 year, you suddenly see that the areas split into nice blobs about 2.5 years. One blob when the areas is lower than should be average for 4 years. In others, it's higher. So, and then in another 2.5 years, it's again changed the pattern. So it's better seen in magnetic field because we take now the polarity. We again average, we take average between 1 year and minus 4 year residuals, and this is polarity. Yellow is positive So your average is higher than it should be within 4 years. And blue is negative. And what is seen that every 2.5 years, you have, for instance, here, northern polarity shows deficit, while the southern polarity at the same time shows excess of magnetic field. Then in 2.5 years, northern polarity now shows excess, and southern polarity shows a deficit. And then look at this regularity, how this pattern changes. So definitely there is some change. In addition to this 11-year cycle, you have these fluctuations of magnetic field of sunspots themselves with this shorter period. So we wanted to understand why it happened. We, again, as I mentioned at the beginning, we compared the butterfly diagram, which was done Hathaway for the total magnetic flux on the top, and excess butterfly diagram for excess magnetic flux for sunspots. What you see here, that in general, they have phase relation 11 years. So polarity of sunspot magnetic field is opposite to the polarity of the background field. So everything is fine. But what, why these patterns appear 2.5 years? You've seen these patterns. We didn't make them. We just run with the filter and take minus average. So this is real pattern. So what we look at, let's revisit what happens with the magnetic field within 3 cycles. If you look at that, again, run 1 year, 3 year, 1 year average, and run principal component analysis, we suddenly, from this background magnetic field, we discover, actually, this what comes real agent function. We found from that magnetic field negative polarity and positive polarity, vice versa, positive polarity and negative polarity. There are two ways of opposite polarity migrating through the solar surface from along the longitude. So this is on the top near the equator. It goes, comes to the equator and goes down. So this is at the start of the cycle 21. When these two waves meet each other, this is where the maximum of the solar cycle. And you see there are strong interference between those waves. Then you move down, and you move down, this is the maximum of the cycle 22. And also you have strong interference of those waves. And then we come here, the waves again cross over each wave, and this is the cycle 23. And by the way, if you see there, they actually, where they cross it, the hemisphere where they cross it defines which hemisphere is more active. In the cycle 21, they cross much higher in the latitude. So the difference between, asymmetry between the hemispheres, which much higher in the cycle 21 than the cycle 23. And this, to prove this point, we calculated again residuals for that. And around the point, around the point when you have these waves crossing up, you see a strong increase in the residuals. And you see this is what your first maximum, second, and the third. And the cycle 23 was the lowest one with the cycle. Then skipping the similar thing we discovered with the meridional. You have a big variation of the changing polarity through the whole from the northern, southern hemisphere to northern for the whole cycle. But these are meridional flaw, which occurring for each separate cycle. This, again, agent function, which you discovered with the simple mathematical analysis, this is the one corresponding to the cycle 21, when the northern hemisphere was dominating very strongly. This is corresponding to the cycle 22, where the southern hemisphere was dominating. This is cycle 23, which domination was very, very marginal. So when we look and compared, I'll skip this one, the background magnetic field, we suddenly discovered that background magnetic field changes also like the patterns. It's well known, I'm not discovering you a lot of New America, but this is the background magnetic field around the roll zone, and this is a background magnetic field on the polar zone, which changes, start changing around the solar maximum. So what we correlated then, this background magnetic field, I skip this one, because I come to the point. When we correlate residuals for background magnetic field and excess magnetic field, we suddenly discovered that they also are complementary, like in my butterfly diagram, and the correlation between them, K correlation between northern and southern hemisphere. So you have positive correlation for areas, you have negative correlation for excess flux, and it with the time lag about zero and then 2.5. So when you get so many confirmation in different mathematical analysis, you might think that definitely, yes, we have this nice torsion of laws coming in correlation sunspot area and background magnetic flux coming from here. And this is the correlation about 0.4, 0.5. So definitely the background magnetic field modulates the appearance of sunspots. And either it allows them to appear or suppresses them. It depends on the sign of the magnetic background magnetic field. So basically what we are heading to, that this line in the showing the Rossi zone is actually not that straight line. It's like a wave which migrating one way or another, which comes that radial advection is actually the red line is not symmetric in the both hemispheres. It fluctuates with the period, with about quarter of the period of 11 years. And basically what is happening there, I come to the conclusion that in the quarter of the 11 years, actually this cycle 23 was not 11, it was 10.2 years. This is why we got 2.5 quarter of the period. But quarter of the period, it seems like the advection, sunspot in one hemisphere are allowed to travel up, while in another hemisphere, they allowed to travel towards the pole. Then in the after the quarter period, changes something inside the interior, then this hemisphere, which sunspot travel up, they started traveling towards the equator, not more sunspot, newer sunspot appear, while those which were in the that another hemisphere, in the southern one, suddenly it opens the way for sunspot appear in that hemisphere. And this is why you observe very strong asymmetry in areas and magnetic flux. So basically this asymmetry occurring with well-defined periodicity are related to the variation of the solar magnetic field. And so we haven't finished yet the variation of the latitudinal dependence, but definitely we found that there is active longitude for 180 or 200 degrees, and they swap every year. And how this affects sunspot occurrences longitude, we don't know. So basically, what you won't need it, simulation of non-axisymmetric model, and thank you.
We've got time for one or two very quick questions.
Chris.
Yeah.
John Brook and his collaborators have tracked the magnetic equator, what they call the magnetic equator, historically, showing this north-south asymmetry. Uh-huh. I was just wondering if you can detect the same your periodicities in his data.
We need to look at. We work with John actually.
He yeah. And it's well known that when the sun emerged from the Maunder minimum, all the sunspots were in one hemisphere, so it was very strongly asymmetric then.
Yeah.
But that seems to be the other correlation. When it was weaker, it was more asymmetric. So it'd be interesting
to
see.
Yes, but the main thing is that you have those waves. I do understand they're on the surface traveling. So something happening in the interior, which we don't see it. And you know what's happening better. But you see those waves traveling. And where they cross each other, waves, you see the maximum. And you see a lot of turbulent fluctuation interference between them. So maybe this is a way to look at.
Okay, thank you very much. Just got one announcement before we go to